Har du et enkeltpersonforetak eller en liten bedrift? Da du sikkert lei av å høre meg snakke om hvor enkelt det å levere skattemeldingen med fiken. Så vi gir oss her. Fordi vi liker enkelt. Fiken. Superenkelt regnskap.
My Dying Bride skulle ha vært på Midgardsblot straks, men når vi ikke kan kose oss på festival, har jeg dykket ned i intervjuarkivet. Jeg heter Helle Stenkløv, du hører på Jernverket podcast. Før intervjuet jeg noe jeg må si. For at Jernverket skal overleve som podcast, trengs det midler. Og du kan bidra med støtte månedlig via patreon.com/jernverket eller gi en enkeltsum via VIPS nummer 567438. Beløpet selvsagt valgfritt. All informasjon står nederst i episodebeskrivelser med lenker som fører jeg rett til kassen. Tusen takk for alle bidragene så langt. Jeg klarer ikke det uten deg.
So it's nice to have you here.
It's nice to be here. Yeah, it's a great place.
So can you please tell the listeners who you are and what you do in My Dying Bride?
Okay, hello. My name's Andy. I play guitar in My Dying Bride. I've been in the band since the very beginning, so I'm fairly qualified to answer these questions, I think.
You should be.
We're here in sunny Oslo, believe it or not, for the Inferno Festival, and having a great time so far.
And you're playing a show tonight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What can we expect from you?
Some old songs. There's two pieces of big news, I suppose. We have Calvin Robertshaw back, the original guitar player from when we first started. He was the other guitar player that we started the band with, so it's great to have him back. It's been a bit of a dream come true. So this is his first show. So what we were just talking about before the interview, I was asking how he is, because I haven't seen him today. So we're just wondering how he's going to cope, because he's been out of the band for maybe 17 years, which is a staggering amount of time. So he's back, this is his first show, so fingers crossed for him. And the second kind of big news is that we're right in the middle of recording a new album. So we've got a really nice dilemma, which we've chosen to go for. We had two options. Do we bring some new songs in with Calvin, or do we just go back a bit and bring some old songs because we've got Calvin? And we chose to bring in some old songs. So we're playing two songs. One I don't think we've played for maybe 20 years. I can tell you now, it's called God Is Alone, and it's basically a death metal song. It's not doom at all. It's when we were not really sure which direction My Dying Bride was going to go in. We didn't really know we were sort of a doom metal band back then. So it's fast as fuck, basically, and it's mad. And it's brilliant to play. It's great fun. So we're bringing a couple of other ones from the early LPs because people like them. And as I jokingly said in another interview, that the new songs only empty the hall anyway. They need a couple of years for people to get used to them. So I don't think we're doing anybody a disservice by not playing the new tracks. They're finished. They're recorded and ready, but they're just not ready for release, I suppose, until the album comes out, which will be later this year.
Later this year, huh?
Yeah, we're right in the middle of. It's kind of busy time for us. We've just finished recording. There are a few minor edits, the usual stuff, but we're busy mixing now in Manchester, in England, and it's going really well. So we're kind of in a good place. We've got Calvin back. He's good. The LP is good. Things are coming together.
But was it challenging to ask Calvin back since he had been away for so long? He's lived his normal life and not going on tour for pretty many years.
Well, not as difficult as you might think, because he's actually been the tour manager for the band for a few years. So when he left, he didn't actually leave the circle of the group, if you will. He stopped playing guitar live. He then did some tour managing for us for maybe 5 or 6 years. And then he had a son, so he stopped doing that. And as it happens, he's living with my sister, so he's kind of is like a family member. So I see him on the family occasions, and a couple of years ago he mentioned he was playing guitar again, and getting back into it. He'd create a small sort of one man band type of thing. And I was in My Dying Bride, happy away, and he was doing what he was doing. And then obviously the situation with Hamish, when that degraded to the point where things had to change, he'd been practicing, I think, a sufficiently good amount of time that it was just obvious almost. We spoke to him, he was keen, very keen, and I thought, well, this is getting easier and easier. Hamish clearly wants to move on to Valenfire. He just doesn't want to make the jump, and he was making it life difficult for us, so we helped him make that move, and he's happy now. Calvin's happy, My Dying Bride's happy, so alright, it was tricky for a while, but ultimately everybody came out, you know, with what they wanted. So no, it wasn't difficult to ask them at all. It was just very straightforward.
Turn out for the best.
Totally, yeah. No, well, tonight we'll see, you know, because he hasn't played live for a long time, and I still get nervous, and you know, we play live all the time. So I don't know how that's going to be for him. I'm sure he'll be fine. And he's no hair anymore, you know, like all those old men now. He's cut his hair very short.
But your hair is still flowing. What do you do?
I don't know. People ask me that. They say all sorts of crazy things, that I must be cheating in some way. If I'm cheating, I don't know. I think it's completely down to luck. Some you get away with it and some don't. I'm, you know, coming up to 45 and I'm not going bald yet, so I'm happy enough.
You still got hair, let it grow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I joined a band for, so long hair tattoos and Marshall stacks. I've got them now, so I'm happy. You know.
But could you tell us a bit about the beginning? Everyone talks about you like the like some legends, you're pioneers, you're one of the Peaceville Three.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
How do you become a pioneer? How do you, you know, the early 90s was probably... the last years where things actually still were new.
Yeah, I understand what you mean by that. For us, we didn't really know. I'm not going to pretend we had a plan. I'm not going to pretend we were clever enough to understand what we were doing. We weren't. We've developed into what this band has become. But back in the very beginning, what we did understand, and this was whether fairly astute of us or just you know, a good guess. We loved people like Deicide and Morbid Angel and Cannibal Corpse, you know, and early Death Records. Well, all of the Death Records, actually. So we My Dying Bride was originally a death metal band, no question. You know, we were death metal. We loved death metal. We wanted to be death metal, you know, or thrash as well, which was, you know, massive, you know, Slayers and Sepulturers, the early days, Entombed, these kind of things. We just loved all of that, and we went to all of those shows. But what we recognised, and this is the bit that might be clever, was we couldn't be as good as them. We were just not that good. We were just kids, 20 years old, and we weren't as good as Entombed. We weren't as good as Morbid Angel. And we couldn't play as fast as them. You know, we were like, oh, fuck me, how do you do this? You know, how do you do On Altars of Madness record? Or Beneath the Remains, you know, that kind of thing. It's just fantastic sounds. So we decided that we would, because we were kind of drawn to the slow side anyway, we loved Candlemass, which kind of threw us. So we became a slow death metal band, is how we understood ourselves. Which ultimately is doom, you know. Slow death metal is doom, but we didn't see it as, you know, we'd never thought about being a doom band. It wasn't a conscious decision. We were more of a slow death metal band, and it just progressed. We were better at being slow. We were better at being miserable. We were better at, in our minds, I'm not saying better than anybody else. We were a better band within ourselves when we played slowly and did nice harmonies and those kind of things. When we played fast, we weren't as good as Morbid Angels and Deicide, so you know, we stuck to what we thought we were good at, and I guess that's how it's progressed. You know, sometimes we speed up every now and then in a couple of songs, but our real, I think, joy is in the what I like to play anyway, is just the total miserable stuff. I don't know why, because it really makes me smile. It doesn't make me sad at all. The slower and the more miserable it sounds, the happier we feel.
But isn't that kind of weird to be happy when you write those
yeah.
really, really sad lyrics? If you're a happy person, where do you get all the words from? All sad words?
Yeah, I mean, we're not immune to real life. You know, we know that My Dying Bride is almost theatre. Ultimately, we take from, like everybody's, we take from real experiences and we you know, inject them into the music. And I think we tried to analyse this a few years ago. Me and Aaron were speaking about this, and the best we could come up with is kind of like we're practising for when real misery hits us. Because, you know, no one in our sort of modern society where we live has seen real misery. They haven't been through, you know, a major world war where proper suffering. You know, thankfully we've missed that. I mean, even though wars do go on, we've been lucky enough to miss those types of things. We haven't lived through a famine or a black plague or anything like that, you know, so we haven't seen really true whole-scale misery, I'm glad of that. I wouldn't wish that upon people, so we were just practicing, I suppose. But real misery does visit us every now and then, you know. Family members grow old and pass away and those kind of things, and you're miserable for a time, and real life sometimes bites. But the music we just like it, you know. It's just one of those things. You just can't legislate for taste. People like certain things, and it would appear that many people enjoy the same kind of stuff we do, because here we are, playing under the, you know, great festival in Norway, because people want that. The mad men, they're just, you know, just, they're as crazy as us, I suppose.
Yes. But you also went from extreme vocals to more and more clean singing. How this did this affect the songwriting? Do you think the sorrow shines more through?
Yes,
with a clean voice.
Yes, it also allowed us to develop to an extra dimension in the sort of music writing. So we could then concentrate on, say, "Turn Loose the Swans," for example. That song, we have a really, what I consider a really nice piece in the centre of the song, where Aaron sings in nice clean vocals, and the lyrics reflect that. Before that, we would just bray straight through with the death metal vocals, and you would lose some of the effect of that part. And also, when you swap back to the death metal vocals, there is immediately more impact in the aggression. So it's, for us, it seemed obvious, but it wasn't obvious when we, you know, until we tried it. It's obvious now. And what we've done, just to sort of push home this thought, we've actually brought more of that back on this record. We have a lot more death metal stacked right against clean vocals. And the aggression and the sorrow really are black and white, you know, it's really obvious what's going on now, and it works really well. I have to admit, it was a gamble when we tried that on, it wasn't Turn Loose the Swans, we tried it first. But it worked. If truth be known, prefer more death metal, but Aaron likes to sing a bit more now. But we've managed to drag some more death metal, a lot more death metal vocals out of him for this new record. So hopefully people will like the, you know, the sort of black and white vibe we've got going on now.
And Aaron does both, with no problem?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, no, he's fine. Perversely, his clean voice is actually better after he's done some death metal. I know, don't ask. But there you go.
First time I've heard
yes,
that one.
Yeah, do the noisy stuff first, and he has. I think he's probably more warmed up by then.
Mm-hmm. But you told me you were going to play some really old songs tonight. Mm. Will we hear something from the early 90s, like almost demo stadium?
God Is Alone is from the 7-inch. We did a demo. We could play one song off the demo, but we've played that one a couple of times. So we chose to play this because I'm not sure we've even played this live. So God Is Alone is, we did the demo, and then we did a 7-inch for Listenable Record, or Pear Drop is, the magazine became Listenable Records, Laurent Merle in France. So we did a 7-inch for him in 91, possibly. So we are talking right after the demo. We weren't signed up by anybody. So this is pre-Peaceful, the big three, all of that. This is when we didn't know what we were doing, and I think it shows. But it's a great song. It's full of violence and rage. It's a good. We're ending the show on that. So you'll see it if you get that. It's a good song.
I hear that I have to pop painkillers tonight and be there.
Well, just get in for the last one. The rest you will have heard. I mean, we're playing The Songless Bird, which is off Turn Loose the Swans as well, which is an ancient song. We haven't played that for maybe 20 years. So we're dragging back Your River and Turn Loose the Swans and some other early stuff. I think the oldest one we do is from Falai's Isaiah. So nothing off the last record, because we just don't have the time to cover it all. So we've sacrificed some new songs for the early ones. And I think it works.
Har du et enkeltpersonforetak eller en liten bedrift? Da du sikkert lei av å høre meg snakke om hvor enkelt det å levere skattemeldingen med fiken. Så vi gir oss her. Fordi vi liker enkelt. Fiken. Superenkelt regnskap.
But normally, everyone asks what's the best album you've made, and often artists they say, of course, it's the last album because it's the last we made. Mm. But which album are you least pleased with?
That's a good question. I would have to. I know this is going to sound awful, but I think it's For Lies Isaiah. There's nothing wrong with it musically. I think we just got it. It was just a bit too clean for me now, listening back. I think it needed a little bit more edge, a bit more teeth to it. You know, it's a very safe sounding record. But that's not the worst thing in the world. You know, I still think the songs are okay. We're playing one tonight, so we obviously think the music's fine. But if I had to go back and change something, I'd probably just give that a little bit more, just shake it up a bit and give it a bit more, you know, I don't know, a bit more of a rough edge. I don't know why we were thinking like that back then, but we did, and you know, but it's not the worst thing that you could say.
Well, of course. That's been 25 years as a band. You probably have seen and experienced a lot. And I love asking bands about their Spinal Tap moments, the best Spinal Tap moments.
We've actually done some things that Spinal Tap have got in their film, like getting lost under stages. And they meet the janitor twice and they can't find the stage. We've done that. We didn't meet the janitor twice, but we certainly got lost. It was fucking ridiculous. But you just... The Spinal Tap thing, the beauty of that is that it's true. Bands do those things. It's just idiocy. Thankfully, no one's been injured. And our drummers do disappear, but they don't explode on stage, which also in Spinal Tap they do. But they do tend to disappear rather quickly. But for a true... I think probably that one, because that one stands out straight away because we actually did it. We were stuck under some stage, walking round and round and round all these sort of service pipes, thinking, where the fucking hell are we? And the gig is supposed to be happening, and we're lost under the stage somewhere. So, but
where and when was this, you remember?
It's a few years ago, and it's in Holland somewhere. I don't remember the venue, but it's definitely somewhere in Holland.
But what happened? Did you find your
someone
way
out? Someone found us, like in Spinal Tap. All these guys looking mean and dressed in black, you know, suddenly looking forlorn and look like lost sheep, thinking, oh, we don't know where we're going. And then we ended up back in the same place. Then someone said, look, what's going on? You're supposed to be on stage. And we were like, we don't know where the fucking stage is. So he pointed us in the right direction and off we went. And it's a funny story, but no. That's thankfully probably the daftest thing. I mean, we've had... individually, you know, crazier things where people get into the wrong beds and, you know, years ago I ended up sleeping with the driver, not realising that he was in the wrong bunk on the tour bus, but, you know, it's a fairly innocent mistake when you've been drinking, I suppose.
It is. But have
you... Or a welcome mistake, depending on how you are.
But have you ever missed a show because something happened while you were travelling?
Oh, no, thankfully not. We've been very good in that respect. I mean, I've never broken a string on stage in 25 years. The band is 25 this June, and I've never broken a string on stage.
Fingers crossed for tonight, then.
Well, I've brought spare guitars. I bring them specially for that and never use them. It's just amazing. We've never, thankfully, missed a show for anything like that. Many years ago, Rick, this is when Rick was drumming for us, he injured his hands to the point where he was having painkiller injections. His hands were... like wood, like cracked wood. They were so dry and his skin was broken. It was painful for him. We had to stop. We couldn't play that night because of the injuries. But it was hardly a Spinal Tap moment because it was certainly not funny. But what we ended up doing is playing darts with the crowd. Everybody got the money back. And this was in Germany somewhere. We got photographs. So we basically stood around in the bar, signed everything that people wanted to sign and talked to people and just played darts with the crowd. All of them. So that was kind of a night off. It was that was pretty cool, actually.
That's a new one. Instead of going to the hotel,
just play darts with the band. Yeah, we don't want to see you play. Just play darts. So that's what we did.
But have you ever had any crazy experiences with fans?
Some frightening ones. We played in Slovenia a couple of years ago, and it's an old fort on the Danube, just right next to the Danube. It's a great venue. And then we came off, and the backstage was like a tent. Well, exactly like a tent, a big tent. And we came back, and obviously after the gig, you kind of just want 2 minutes just to gather your thoughts, I suppose. And Aaron sat down, and I was sat opposite him just having a drink. And we don't even know if this was a girl or a boy. A very sexless-looking person came in with very dark makeup, looking like from The Ring, you know, something like that. Very macabre look, very menacing look. And just sat at Aaron's feet, looking up, staring at him, but said nothing. And we're kind of like, where's this going? You know, what is going on? We still don't know to this day what was going on, but there was a very menacing feel about it, whether she was or he was insane or just a mad fan that was dumbstruck because it was Aaron or something like that. We don't know because the security got them out. But it was weird. But thankfully nothing more than that. You know, no one's tried to injure us or do anything crazy. We've certainly had things thrown at us. I've been hit with Coke bottles and money. And the money as well was, it was old Italian lira, so it wasn't worth anything. So you're being smacked all over the place by these coins, and you can't even use them because the currency back then was useless. So, but no, thankfully, when it comes to the rock and roll side of things, we've led a really quite, I don't know, serene and sort of calm life, thankfully. I wouldn't want it any other way. It's mad enough as it is. You don't need any extra stress.
There's a lot of touring and going on, and you have to keep your head fresh, I guess.
Yeah, and you can. I mean, we injure ourselves enough just by drinking, you know, before and after a show, and those kind of things, being silly that way, and injuring ourselves, falling over, because, you know, I mean, we did one gig where Dan hurt himself so badly that he drummed on one leg, the left leg as well, and managed to get through the set using the wrong leg, which was quite impressive in itself, until we could get him to the hospital back in England.
Wow.
But so thankfully not. I mean, Aaron's had a couple of injuries where things thrown at him cut his head, so he's been bandaged up after the gig. But I don't think these are just My Dying Bride. Every band goes through those things, you know, especially at festivals when some person just decides they don't want you in the way of whoever's next or their band, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But no, thankfully not. And fingers crossed it'll be the same tonight.
Yeah, usually they're quite nice at Inferno.
Yeah, we had a good time when we were, and a very good reception when he played here in 2004. And we played Blastfest last year, which is kind of like an up-and-coming festival, probably competing with this one. That was pretty, the crowd there was very, very good.
Was there a lot of people there? I haven't been to Blastfest yet.
For us, there was. We were pleasantly surprised. And going by the reports, we were one of the more popular bands there. And I wouldn't say that outright, but other people told me, so I like to believe that.
But when we're talking about parties and injuries, what's in your eyes, when are you at a good party, with or without friends?
Yeah, that's, it's right before you need to go to bed, I think, the best part, and knowing that you can leave and get back to your hotel within walking distance, that I consider that a sensible and good party, because I'm not a massive sort of party goer. We don't do anything strange, you know. We don't do weird drugs or anything like that, which seems to be prevalent nowadays. But we do like to have a drink and a laugh, as it were. We're not beyond that. But I just like the normal things, you know. If you've got good company, you've got sort of great music, you know, and those kind of things, that will do. It's very simple.
Prefer the good old pub or the home party?
Oh, totally the pub. Yeah, it has to be. I mean, in England, we kind of grow up with pubs, and we love them for that. I mean, like last night, that was what I would consider a good party. The festival felt good, you know, people were smiling, you know, it was a really great vibe, even though it's 1349 that are, you know, tearing the place apart. That was a good show, that was a good party to be at, you know. And then that's the kind of thing, as heavy metal fans, we like to be in places full, you know, with heavy metalers and listening to heavy metal music with a good beer, and we had all of that, so I don't need much more than that. Fairly simple person.
But England is probably one of the countries Norwegians go to the most, except for Sweden. Do you have any recommendations if you want to go to have fun at a club or a pub in England?
Yeah, well, anywhere in Leeds is fine, really. You won't go far wrong. There are so many great bars down in Leeds, and even if you stumble into the small ones, because English pubs have a kind of quirkiness that I think foreigners like. You know, they're very different to, you know, like Norwegian pubs and those kind of things. And it's far cheaper, so you can get drunk twice as quick. especially out here, it can be pricey. But no, I mean, there's a couple of good rock places in Leeds. But they move about, so you don't always end up in the same place. But Leeds is a top place for it. If you're going somewhere and you want everything, very modern city. You know, you can't go far wrong. I wouldn't go to Bradford. That's just a total dump. Go to Leeds.
Yeah. So the next time, don't go to London, go to Leeds.
Well, Leeds is trying to be London. Very cosmopolitan. Lots of foreign students, lots of foreign, you know, people there who live there. So it's a very open city, if you will. It's a friendly place. I mean, it's not without its faults, like most places, but you wouldn't go far wrong. I live there, so I kind of know this place. Obviously, I'm slightly biased, or very biased. So, yeah, but yeah, you won't go far wrong if you go there. Even if you don't like rock music, it's just a great place to be.
Good tip. Yeah, we already talked more than 20 minutes, and this show is 1 hour long. Mm. And I like the bands to pick the music for the show where they're in, because that makes an extra depth to it. So if you'd choose one My Dying Bride song and 9 other favorite songs, can you do that?
Yeah, one My Dying Bride song, what should I go for? I think The Wreckage of My Flesh is a good song. That's worth playing. That's from Songs of Darkness. It's one of my favourites. And the other songs, I think I'll go for Diary of a Madman, Ozzy Osbourne. Bewitched, Candlemass. Behind the Mirror, Creator, from Terrible Certainty. That's a classic. Slowly We Rock by Obituary. Maze of Torment by Morbid Angel. That's a classic as well.
This will be a party show.
Yeah. You can see where Stargazer by Rainbow, that's a classic. Let's stick with Dio, actually. Put Holy Diver in there as well. And Chains, I think that's on Lasting Line.
Chains.
I think it's called Chains. Or The Chains Are Off. On. You'll find it.
Yeah.
It's about track 8.
I think this would be a good mix of the sorrow from My Dying Bride and party songs.
Yeah, I like those. I mean, they're just great songs. I mean, I think Diary of a Madman is a classic. And people forget that he was using violin back then. They think people like Celtic Frost and My Dying Bride were the first people to bring violin into metal. We weren't there. It's very, it's in the mix, if you will, but it's certainly back there. I think that might have influenced us more than we recognise.
But you removed the violin for a while, didn't you?
Not on purpose. But yes, to answer the question, what happened was Martin left. He wanted to do other things. I can't remember why he left, to be fair, but anyway. So we tried something where we wanted to see if My Dying Bride was all about the violin. So to see if that was the case, we didn't use the violin. And it proved that My Dying Bride wasn't all about the violin. We were still as popular. In fact, we were getting more popular. And then we had an opportunity for Lies I Sire again to bring the violin back when we brought Katie in temporarily, because she played keyboards and violin quite well. And so when the violin came back, it was a bit of a tricky decision for us, because we knew once the violin came back, we probably couldn't do without it again, because obviously we were going to record an album with it on. So we took the plunge and put violin back on the record. It was proved to be very popular. We used it very sparingly. We didn't make it a feature. It's more of just, adding extra elements. And then it became the part of the band again. And I'm glad, actually, it's on the new record. There's some stunning violin parts, absolutely heartbreaking moments. Just little pieces right in the right place. Perfect.
But do you have any instrumental dreams for My Dying Bride, like going on stage with a big orchestra, or bringing some weird old folk instrument, or
I've never been into that kind of thing. We've been likened, or sort of suggested that we'd be ideal for that by a number of people, and we've even been offered gigs where the promoter puts on like a classical band behind us. I think Anathema did something similar, and maybe Tarja did something in Romania or something like that, or Bulgaria. And it looks okay, but I'm an old-fashioned... I think we're a metal band. I think we're a heavy metal band with a violin. I don't think we're a violin sort of focus outfit with a metal band behind it. So for me, I just like to keep it nice. I just like the power. I just like the heavy metal. Big guitars, big drums. And if, to be fair, if we would be like one of the first people or bands to try this, I'd probably take it on. But it's so done now. Metallica have even done it. If they're doing it, that's got to mean it's done. So for me, we don't need to over orchestrate our music. I like that. I mean, we did a Vinter, which was and other bands have kind of taken this approach now, which I think is a good idea, where we chopped up all our songs and rewrote them, just the pieces we like, different riffs here and different elements there, to create new songs completely orchestrated. And I think that really works. We got some very interesting stuff out of that. To play that live, no, it's background music. It's something for solace. When you're on your own, you listen to that kind of stuff. So, I mean, maybe I'm just being lazy, because there's 6 in the band as it is. Do we need another 15 people? to worry about? But no, I can see why people liking us to that kind of vibe, though, it's, it probably would work, but I'm too lazy to think about it.
I think it's refreshing. You're the probably the only artist I've spoken to that has been like, no.
Well, I don't think it's a good idea, basically. I just don't see how they will bring anything new to My Dying Bride. We're not a classical music band. All right, you can translate our music into classical music as you can most and get a really good effect and probably get something very nice to listen to. But I'm a heavy metal fan, you know, ultimately. I like classical, don't get me wrong, but I don't think we need that.
Awesome. You've taken a stand instead of just throwing
yourself
on. Yeah,
fuck you, classical music. If that's your attitude.
Fuck you, classical music. I think you should make a song called that.
I'm thinking that, yeah.
Or maybe you should shout that at the end of today's show.
Oh, Az will be saying something crazy, I'm sure. After that, yeah. He'll be on his knees screaming about curries or something like that. He only says, he slides in strange words when he thinks people aren't listening, even though there's a room full of people listening. And so be careful what he might say. I'm sure he'll be saying something stupid at the end of this.
So do you have any stupid sayings for the last minutes of the interview?
We've just learned a brand new one, actually, today. Our tour manager, Deborah, has made up, because she's Italian, so she basically brutalizes the English language in a really nice way. And apparently, the new saying today is drunk as a rat's ass. Now, in England, we don't say that. We say rat-assed. You are, a level of drunk is rat-assed. But apparently Aaron last night was drunk as a rat's ass. We've decided that's a great saying and we're going to now use it.
It's a lab rat, probably.
Possibly him, yeah. he was somewhat, because he doesn't fly very well. This is private, but
yeah,
fuck it.
You can
say he doesn't fly very well. Everybody in the band knows he doesn't fly very well. So what he has to do to get him on a plane, he's got to be drunk, basically. So. And obviously on the plane you get given more beer, and then in the airport you get given more beer, and then on the next plane you get more beer. So by the time he gets here, he's fucking wasted. Or drunk as a rat's ass, as the new saying says. So that was comedy, but anyway. So yeah, we've got a new saying, that one.
Du har hørt et My Dying Bride-intervju fra 2015. Likte du det, kan du for eksempel høre episoden med Church of Misery og Green Carnation. Neste vekka har dere stemt frem et gjenhør med et årgangsintervju med Throne of Catharsis.
Vi vel dessverre det eneste I Norge som gjør alt bedre.
Hva å gjøre alt rett da?
Det som gjør black metal som det skal gjøres.
Men hvordan black metal som det skal gjøres?
Da sier jeg se vedlegg ved graven.
Abonner på Jernverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå inn på jernverket.com. Spre ordet, legg igjen en femstjerner og lytt. Og hvis du vil bidra med litt kronasj for at jeg skal kunne fortsette, kan du gi støtte via Patreon eller Vips. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook for konkurranser, diskusjoner og musikalske tips. Jeg heter Hede Stenkløv og gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Vi høres!
Har du et enkeltpersonforetak eller en liten bedrift? Ikke det. Nei, men da holder vi det enkelt og gir oss her, fordi vi liker enkelt. Fiken, superenkelt regnskap.